February 3rd, hundreds of students came to watch the Central North basketball game. It was a game day to raise awareness for cancer and raise money, but it turned into a night that'll be remembered as bringing awareness to a different issue, teen violence. Media is portraying acts of teen violence because they are there. Mass shootings such as Columbine and Olivade were all caused by shooters 18 or younger. Besides the easy access of firearms and other deadly weapons, what leads a teenager to committing violence and even mass atrocities is a question with multiple answers. COVID-19 was no doubt detrimental to lives of many. Teens suffered mental health problems that they hadn't before. Those struggles still are prevalent today. It is widely known that mental health can be linked to mass shootings, with an FBI survey claiming 65% of mass shooters between 2000 and 2013 had mental health stressors, depression, anxiety, etc. Principal Suzanne Leake has seen the spike of mental health problems within the smaller community around her. We also see people struggling with mental health. We see an uptick in that, and so you know, no doubt did COVID have an effect, Dr. Leake said. It's not only Dr. Leake that has noticed these issues. Teachers and other staff have noticed the detrimental effects of COVID on students' mental health. Counselor Christopher Miller has noticed these changes. If I had a guess, I would say the increase has a lot to do with the stress our society has been under in the last few years. The pandemic affected everyone significantly in multiple ways, Miller said. Specifically for teens, it affected social development as teens had limited social interaction and did not learn how to address the problems and frustrations. With this information, it can be known that teens are very susceptible to unhealthy forms of coping in the forms of violence when they experience difficult events in these developing years. Besides COVID affecting mental health, social media has also played a major role. So we have so many forms of media now. I'd be curious if we ever really know how many incidents similar to that ever did happen when we didn't have the means to share all these stories worldwide like we do now, Leake said. Media showcases that many stories of violence across the board and not just teens. But the constant viewing of these violent acts can desensitize the eyes of the viewer and for teens create ideas in their heads. But violence doesn't have to just come in the form of physical violence. While we have fights here at FHC, we don't see much physical violence compared to more verbal or emotional, Miller said. We can get lost in the idea that teen violence simply comes down to a kid hitting another kid or bringing a gun to school. While these things happen, there are other forms of violence. Verbal and emotional violence are on the rise in the teenage group and can come with its own detrimental effects. What the root of this violence is a complicated subject and often involves many factors. Violence is definitely taught as a way to handle problems, but there are genetic predispositions towards violence, Miller said. There are many factors that lead to violence in adolescence. Yet, with the past couple years, as teens experience COVID and many mass shootings, the correlation to increased teen violence cannot be ignored. Staff inside schools can only provide so much information on how teens can perform acts of violence. There are experts across the nation that have specialized in teenage aggression and its roots. Paul Boxer is a professor of psychology at Rutgers University. He studied children and teenagers and their violent behaviors. He's seen firsthand these individuals through community centers, clinics, and hospitals. Boxer has found similar causes to teen violence as those within our school walls. The topics of mental health, media, and genetic disposition are ones that are discussed across state lines. Violence exposure in homes, schools, and the media, economic strain, family conflict, intensive irritability and impulsivity, and trauma, Boxer said. It is known that the media portrays violence in our society because it is a common occurrence. People are killed, kidnapped, and oppressed on a daily basis. But how does a kid take this into something of their own? There's a lot of research showing that violence is in the media leads kids to see the world as a violent place, to learn specific forms of aggressive responding, and to believe that violence is an acceptable form of behavior. When kids develop these beliefs, they become more likely to engage aggression themselves. Boxer said, acceptance is the key. Teenagers see acts of violence occurring and they play the game or of if they can do it, so can I. Stating that mental health is the cause of teenagers committing mass shootings is a completely too broad and sets a stereotype that those who are mentally ill are a danger to society. Not all those that experience mental health problems commit acts of violence, but some mental health illnesses are more common lead to violence. Only one very specific form of mental illness has been linked consistently to violence, paranoid schizophrenia, in which the individual with the condition experiences hallucinations and delusions that provoke them to behave violently, Boxer said. Once again, environmental factors are not the only thing at play. While most all cases have an environmental cause linked to them, genetic disposition can play a major role. Researchers have found that certain genotypes or patterns of DNA are associated with increased risk for violent behavior. However, most typically, people with those genotypes still require some sort of environmental trigger for their violent behavior to become manifest. Overall, it is known by school staff and professionals that teenagers are acting more violently because of the media and the mental health crisis. But another major question gets raised when the topic of mass shootings is brought up. Does the violence differ between teens in states with differing gun laws? Yes. Some of my work has shown that the youth are less likely to carry and use firearms in states with more restrictive firearm laws, Boxer said.